Welcome to Music Majors Unplugged. Do you want to find your place in the world of music and succeed in a career? Do you find yourself up late at night thinking about what your next steps should be? Do you have ambitious goals but are unsure how to pursue them? Hello, my name is Aiden and I too was and still am a college student who wants to pursue music for a living but is unsure of what steps to take. I too feel overwhelmed with all of the things that I have tried to do to further my career and wished everything would just fall into place. I wanted to win a job, I wanted to be accepted into a summer festival, and I wanted to make a living in music, but I kept telling myself that I wasn't a strong enough player and that maybe music was not for me. I discovered that masterclasses were where I learned the best. Just listening and talking to professionals is the easiest way to learn about where you want to take your career in the future. In this podcast, you will learn about new career paths, listen to professionals that are working in the industry, and learn advice to take yourself to the next level so you can find your place in music. You and I mean, we've been friends for 2 years now, 3 years, and whatever you want to start.
We've come a long way.
We've come a long way. And I think one of the biggest attributes we share is this thing that we call doing the thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to talk about that because I was thinking about it. We went to a concert the other weekend and we were talking about it on the way home. And while we were talking about it, I was thinking about how my choir director actually used to say that same phrase, like do the thing. And so I wanted to ask you, I think you're like a great example of doing the thing. What does that mean to you?
It's funny. I mean, I actually heard the phrase doing the thing from the marching band director here. you get this kind of whole thing. His thing was more like I think he was maybe being a little bit funnier about it. Make the thing, talking about the shape that we need to make on the field, and then move the thing, do the thing, whatever, you know. But it was, you kind of are able to take some things away from some experiences in ways that maybe they weren't expressed in the moment. Was your question, what does it mean to do the thing?
Yeah, to you.
Yeah,
and okay. Then I can kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, great. I got sidetracked by the origin of do the thing. For me, doing the thing means, like I said previously, you don't want to half-ass anything. You want to put your all into something. But at some point, it's also just a matter of getting the motivation to actually just get off your ass and do it. If you want to do something, that's great. But to actually do it is a whole nother thing. Like you need to be, you need to have the knowledge on how to do it. Obviously, but you need to, just really just go for it, there's a huge difference between saying you want to do something and actually doing it. And I think some people don't realize it because some people are just doers of the thing by nature.
Right.
But some, we see it a lot here, I think, where there's people that, I mean, you'll see it everywhere too. And I don't want to just make it sound like it only happens here.
We see it here.
We see it here because we're here.
Yeah.
But there's people here that will just, you made that. That's great. I mean, I really wanted to make that, but I just like what? No, you just didn't do the thing,
right?
Because whatever reason, sure, there could be reasons that are like completely valid, but then we don't want to hear you talk about how you didn't do the thing.
Right.
Because we've experienced doing the thing and we know that doing the thing is not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's hard, you got to put, like I said, you got to put your all into it and that takes a lot from you. But we know that like as doers of the thing, doing the thing only, it doesn't take as much as you really think it does. It's a leap of faith in some regard, but just, do the thing.
Yeah. My origin of do the thing came from my choir director. I was in show choir. I was in the backup band. We called it the Bub, B-U-B, backup band.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. That's good.
But he always told us just like that was the last thing he always said before we performed, is just do the thing. And to us, it always meant like you have it, like it's there. You've done it before. All you have to go out and do is just apply it. Mm-hmm. Like you've done all the work. There's no more work to be had.
Right.
Now you just have to go do it. And so to me, kind of in the same regards of like, I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I have this idea.
Mm-hmm.
or I have this thing done, you know, and it's like, well, then go do it. Like, mm-hmm. like if you have this project that you want to present to people,
yeah,
then just do it.
There is no better time than right now.
Yeah.
If you have something, get it out, get it out there.
And it's, I think this applies a lot to college kids. Like,
yes, definitely.
This is the best time to do it.
There is no more of an experimental era for people than when they're in college. And that applies to so many aspects of life, you know. Not an avenue that I'm necessarily talking about.
Let's keep it on the music track.
I think you know where I'm going. But like, there is no better time. You're still learning here. So if something flops, like if you want to do the thing and the thing that you do flops, who cares?
Right.
You're a college student. You're learning. You're doing it now because you want to learn how to do it. Maybe it's great the first time. If it's, you know, if so, great. If not, you still learned something from it because you did the thing. That is like 80% of the battle is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like you said, if it flops, like you, like in the way I think about it, like if I try something and it doesn't work, guess what? I still have conducting tomorrow. Like I don't have a job where it depends on me. Like, I'm not risking anything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I still have class tomorrow. I'm still going to do all the same stuff. Just that attempt didn't work.
The fucking sun is going to come up the next day because it does every day. You know what I mean? Like, it will, regardless of how anything goes, you're fine. Like, you will, well, no, that's a bad way of saying it. Regardless of how anything goes, you will not die from doing the music thing.
And there have been people before you, and a lot of them are here. A lot of them are faculty members. I think that's the best part, right?
Yes.
Like you can talk to faculty members about your failed attempt and they'll be like, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
And some of them have greater stories.
Yeah.
Some of them have greater failure stories than you'll ever experience in your life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, something could have completely flopped for them and they still found a way to learn from it, get better, develop, and eventually best that.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to be able to be surrounded by so many people who care so much about something that they're willing to not only do the thing several times, but then be able to share their wisdom about doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful time to be here.
You know? Were there any people that you talked to during your process of making the album? Because I would have to assume, like, you believed in the music, but obviously there has to be some trepidation about, like, this is a new experience for me. Was there anybody you talked to and like kind of learned something from about their attempts on it?
Yeah, well, the three people that I talked to were the aforementioned my trombone professor, Dr. Williams, and the jazz professors here, Mr. Chris Mertz and Dr. Michael Conrad. And all three of them have projects of their own that are, you know, out there in the world, and they sound amazing. Like, they are they're so good. They play so well. All the music is really well thought out and written. Not all of them wrote all the music for all that. But it is... like it sounds professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I wasn't going to get that when I was doing this. But I spoke with them about just kind of the whole process, and they were able to give me tips about like, oh, what, you know, who should you, you know, oh, you want to get it mastered. That sounds great. Here, I'll hook you up with Dave from Skydeck Music. Oh, you need to record it. Okay. Your best bet is probably to use the sound engineer here and also be able to record it here, since it's just a, you know, a great way to make use of an awesome resource that's, you know, upstairs from where you practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they also have been teaching me how to play the trombone. And so that's why the trombone sounds not, I don't, you know.
It sounds good. You're a good player.
You're a better player. it doesn't sound mediocre, I guess to say.
I mean, Maggie, like, blows you out of the water, but
you know what? All of them blow me out of the water. I'm
kidding.
It was a great experience, and you know, I learned more about playing the instrument from doing that too. Another great thing about that was I kind of had to listen to it like a bunch of times before it was even released, and I got like it. at first I got a little tripped up and like, oh, that's, oh, I cracked that note or whatever. Oh, maybe that idea wasn't executed as well as I wanted it to be, because that happens a lot in improvisation. But it also happens in just, you know, playing too. Like, I mean, we miss things sometimes, yeah. But you know, that's part of the beauty of it, is we're not perfect. And the music we write isn't perfect. The music is ours.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it's perfect. But, you know, I'll never be the best technical trombone player, but I'll be damned if I'm not putting my whole heart into my sound and my music that I write. You know what I mean? Like, it took a little bit for me to just get over these mistakes and kind of just realize, oh, who gives a crap? Like, this is my music, and it sounds exactly how I want it to sound. Yeah. Like, eventually I get over the, oh, that cracked note. Ah, who cares? You know what? I cracked 1,000 notes in the past week. So, like, you know, that's just how it is. And, I learned a lot just about accepting the failures as part of the overall process. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't think anybody, I know Nathan, my friend Nathan here, he's listened to the album, you know, probably several times, and he's been like, oh, actually you missed that note there. And he's just joking with me. Yeah. That's just how we are with each other. But he might, you know, like, nobody listens to the album for the mistakes.
Yeah. Right.
They listen to it because either they're my mom or, or they're my dad. No, but they listen to it because it's an album put out by a college student, and maybe I'm a friend of theirs, or, you know, it's just something they want to hear. And hopefully the music eventually is just heard by people that just want to listen to jazz. And maybe that's not with this one. Maybe this was just the, I'm learning. The next one will be the, okay, now you get to hear me. But, you know, regardless, like, I mean, it was a beautiful realization to just get to the point of, the mistakes are always going to be the mistakes, but the beauty is the overall,
right?
What it is. And I think that might be another problem for some people when it comes to doing the thing, is, oh, but if, you know, I mess up, or if there's mistakes, you know, people are going to hear that. And, you know, we're surrounded by music majors who care deeply. You know, we're surrounded by perfectionists. Everybody here wants to be as good as they possibly can. And if you mess up something, you know that you messed up something, because that's how we are as music majors. But that, I think, can be a huge roadblock for people sometimes when it comes to putting themselves out there and doing the thing. Like, what if it's not perfect? Shut up. That's a stupid, roadblock for you. Like, just go put yourself out there. This is, you know, we're only on this planet for so long. You know, you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, I think, like you said, music majors, just musicians fall subject to this, like, perfectionist thing.
Yeah.
And it does stop a lot of people. But it's fascinating. The more I perform, and I would assume you would concur with this, the more I perform, the more I realize that people do not hear the mistakes you're making, even if they're blatant. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, for example, last week I had my junior recital.
Yeah.
And I played a concerto by Ney Rosar, a marimba concerto, that I had played in the fall for a competition. And I played it, like, almost note perfect in the fall. But when I played it for my junior recital, it was like at the end of this hour long recital. And I didn't think it was that great. I chipped a lot of notes, messed up a lot, but that was the piece that got the most compliments. People were like, God, that concerto is just crazy. I'm like, and nobody's hearing these mistakes that I am, like, fixated on.
My favorite thing about watching you in that recital was just the way that you moved, and you moved with such a purpose.
Thank
and you were so, like, convicting with everything that you were doing in every single one of those pieces. So any of those mistakes, it would have sounded more like if you would have listened to a recording and compared, you would have been like, oh, the recording is wrong. because look at this guy move, and look at this guy, you know, play with such authority that like he owns his performance.
You talk about movement, and I think that is one of the biggest things about doing the thing, like just not even acknowledging that you make mistakes when you're playing is a huge thing.
Right. And honestly, like there are like masks that, you know, not actual masks, but like there are ways that musicians, I've seen it when they try and perform and they make a mistake. Even if it's obvious, you know, maybe somebody of our knowledge will be like, oh, okay, maybe they missed that note or whatever. Like, you know, when you chip a note on the trombone, like you crack a note, it's pretty obvious.
It's there.
It's like, you know, if it doesn't sound harmonically right, you know, like you'll notice, but you know, who cares? But like some people will even maybe like have a poker face that they switch on to try and make it look like they're not.
Yeah. Or
they'll try and cover up the mistake, but it'll be like it's, you shouldn't do that either.
Right.
What you should do is play the next note.
Right.
Because the next note.
Yeah. There's the people that immediately get defensive or they grimace and they're like, ah, that was the note.
Oh,
you know?
My God. And it's just so and sad because then it's like, as somebody watching the performance, you are immediately aware that the mistake was made if you weren't aurally aware.
And the worst part about it is being a musician, you don't think about this, but you play 1,000 notes in a performance. And so that and that one note that you messed up, it feels like the only note you played that entire night. It feels like you went on stage, you chipped a note, and you walked off.
Yeah.
But nobody else notices that.
No, they noticed all of the flashes of amazing things that you did before. I mean, like, we're playing, like, for me, I'm putting air through a tube at the speed and, you know, length of however long I want to do it. I mean, like, just the bare science of all the things that we do is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, fish can't do what we do.
That's true. That's true.
but, like, I mean, it's just, there's no reason that anybody should beat themselves up about the mistakes. And it gets tricky when we're doing competitions.
Right.
I mean, if we want, like, if we're putting on a senior recital, that's a little bit different because that's just, what did you learn? Who are you as a performer at this moment in time? But if you're doing a competition, you're doing it to compete against other people and you're doing it to ideally win.
Yeah.
And so every chipped note or everything that you miss is, you know, one step backwards from the finish line. But the best performances are the ones where you can just tell that somebody's heart is in it. And if they make a mistake, they move on and they play the next thing. And usually, like, no one ever thinks about the mistakes of a great performance. They think about what was the moment that hit them right in the sweet spot in the heart. You know, I mean, like, what happened that, like, somebody can go home and think about.
And nobody remembers the mistakes. Even if they like are like, oh yeah, that happened. At the end of the concert, nobody's thinking about it.
No.
They're because thinking that, about the moment that was like, oh my God.
If they are, they should not go to another performance because that's not who the music is for. I didn't write my album for the people that wanted to critique music. You know, the Anthony Fantanos,
it's a big call out.
Downbeat magazine writers. I didn't write it for them. That's not who I wrote it for. I wrote it in the album liner notes. I said to my mom, dad, and broski, this one's for you. And it wasn't because the music is about them or something that they need to have resonate with them. It's because those three people specifically, you know, helped see me through life. And now this is a celebration of the knowledge that I've gained. And so it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know they're super proud of me, and they, you know, I if they don't like the music, they pretend, and they, you know, like that's, you just need to think about when you're doing something, who are you really doing it for? And if you're doing it for yourself, that's fine too, but you shouldn't do it for yourself with the idea that everything is going to be perfect and there's going to be nothing wrong with it, because there's going to be something quote unquote wrong with everything. That's how life is.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. My professor always is a big advocate for it is much more important that you be musical and very intentional with your sound.
Mm-hmm.
And if you chip a few notes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a judge or, I mean, this is more on my mind now that I'm a junior or it's the end of our junior year is grad school. Think about applying to grad school and like, I know that recording time is going to be just the worst because I am a perfectionist when it comes to stuff like that. But I just have to remember.
It gets tricky when you're able to like listen back to it too, and you know that you can do it over again.
Yeah, it's not the same as a live audition. No, like there are a lot of times when I've recorded stuff, I've been like, that was great. Like that would have been great as a live audition. But because I can listen back to it, I can hear that one phrase that just didn't.
Yep, but you know that like you've done it better before, so yeah. Why can't you do it in the recording? But you're playing, you know, 100 phrases.
And yeah, and there's two sides to that coin. You know, when we talk about doing the thing, it's like, do the thing, you did it, you recorded it, it doesn't need to be perfect, great. But also, if you really care about this thing, keep going.
Yes, that's a good point. Well, and kind of tying back to the album, mm-hmm. If that's okay.
I'll let you do it.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Like the mixing process is where I kind of learned a lot about that too, because it would have been really easy to just be like, wow, that was fun. Mm-hmm. We recorded these 7 tunes. Let's call it. Let's put it out there because that was so much fun and I want people to hear it. But if I do want it to sound professional and not waste anybody's time with this, is you know, including mine, mm-hmm. We need to go the extra length. We need to, you know, touch up the mixings, you know, make sure the audio sounds great for everything. Or as great as we can make it sound. Because, you know, you got to take those extra steps. That's another part of doing the thing, I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you got to take those extra steps and make sure it's everything that you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Once you've done the thing, you might not actually really be done with the thing.
Right.
But you have done the thing.
Yeah, you just need to finish the
thing. We got to make this like a shirt, bro.
Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Finish the thing. You've done the thing.
Do another thing and finish.
Keep going.
And then finish
with
that thing. And then do 80 more things.
Yeah. We'll which, I mean, you just said it as a joke, but I think that resonates. Do 80 more things. Keep going.
Yes.
Like you can't just be complacent with, and I know you're not because you keep talking about, you know, you want to write another album.
The next one, yeah.
Yeah, and like we've both been gassing each other up over summer festival auditions. We, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to audition for this one. Oh, I'm going to do this one. And you like auditioned in, where, Austria or something? Or
Croatia. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, and I didn't get into anything for this summer, which is completely fine with me because it's a learning experience. It was a chance to, you know, play with other musicians when I had to audition with that music. You know, that's a blessing in itself that mm-hmm. people don't really think about when they do that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, like it's, you know, I'm taking chances. I'm shooting my shot. And that's
yeah, enough, you easily could have been like, Aspen sounds good. We'll try for Aspen.
Yeah.
And that's it. But how many did you do? You
ended I ended up applying for 3. But yeah, I those 3 are exactly what I would like to do with my time if I, you know, if I were to get the chance to do it. But you know, I mean, it could have been easy to be like, "Oh, I'm just going to get fixated on this one."
Right.
But I mean, if multiple things sound appealing to you, do them all. I mean, you had this experience. You auditioned for a bunch of stuff, and you got into things that overlap.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, pick one or like.
Yeah, I ended up auditioning for 8 summer festivals.
That's crazy.
And I got into 4 of them. Yeah.
50% clip, man. You know, baseball players hit. You're a good baseball player if you hit 300.
I'm not taking as many pitches as they are.
Okay, I was gonna just gas you up a little bit. Well, but that's cool, man. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm saying one summer festival is like the equivalent of 3 at bats.
All right, sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
But I don't remember what you said. But it made me think about this. Was, oh, you could just fixate on something. Or I think I hear a lot from people is like, they hear. Sometimes there's like this political side of music. So I'll just use our concerto competition as an example.
Sure.
You and I has a concerto competition and historically has not been very brass heavy in finals or I guess I don't even know about finals, but I just winners. Brass
or percussion.
That's true. Brass people don't seem to win as often as like woodwinds or sure. strings. And so there are a lot of people that are just like, well, why even try?
Right.
You know,
there are people. Yeah. I mean, there's people in the studio that I think are better players than I am that are just like, I tried this year and I moved on to the semifinals and I didn't move on past there. But there are people that didn't even take the steps to even go for it because they think, oh, well, you know, brass players don't win.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, I mean, like, I won't win, so why get super hyper, you know, super fixated on something that will eventually just let me down.
And like, I think that mindset is dangerous as a musician.
Now, the competition mindset's also dangerous, but because I did find myself, you know, kind of getting fixated on this. I became a better player. Like, the piece I worked on for that competition was, like, the hardest piece I had worked on up to that point. And I became such a better player and just a better musician by working on it and, you know, taking the time to practice. And then also taking the time to lose.
Right.
You know, quote unquote.
It's a hard thing to do. But it's also it's 90% of our career.
Yes. And it takes a lot to take a loss like that and, you know, get hit on the chin and get back up. Because, you know, you lose that competition and it might feel like, oh, all this work that I did was for nothing. If I put in more work on something else, it's just going to end up being for nothing again. And eventually, maybe you do win a competition, but maybe you don't. You need to, like, you know, check yourself and realize that you have gotten so much better by doing every single little one of these things. Every audition that you and I took, we became way better for doing it. Every competition that we played in, we became way better for doing it. Every day that we spend not quitting is a day spent getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been taking some orchestral auditions and then summer festivals and other stuff. And, like, you know, I keep them updated. I'm like, oh, didn't get in. And I've come to terms with the fact that, like, the type of career that we're going after as performers, especially, is so competitive.
Yes.
So you don't have to like love the competition stuff, but it's going to be a part of winning a job. Like, if you want to win a job in an orchestra,
you have to
There's one spot open, and there are, you know, however many people are applying. So I heard this quote from an alumni here who I was friends with. He won concerto competition his senior year, and he told me that he went into finals, and the only thing he was saying to himself was that he has to go in there and not give them another choice. And I think that mindset can be a little dangerous because some people really take to that and, like, will run with it, and it can be unhealthy.
Sure.
But also, there is a big part of that that's true, that all musicians just need to be like, you need to believe in yourself 100%. Yes. No matter what the outcome is, you need to believe in yourself.
And I said this earlier with talking about, you know, putting your music out there. If you're going to make an album, you need to fully believe in it. Otherwise, there will be an album out there that somebody would rather listen to because it sounds more like somebody cared about it. Like, that person cared more about making that album than you did. And that eventually reflects on better music. That's, you know, that's absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have anywhere else to go with it. Do you have anything else to say about doing the thing?
Do the fucking thing. No. No, I just think that it's just a great thing that people, musicians especially, but all people need to just sit down and think about what it means to them to do the thing, because doing the thing could be on a much larger scale or a much smaller scale than the examples we've given. We don't, you know, it could be doing the laundry.
Yeah.
You know,
or even, like, I think as a musician, you've done the first step by being a music major. Like, if you are a music major, that is the, like, a big doing the thing.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to be a music major, and it's another thing to live the life and
that's true.
Apply yourself.
But it's very easy to be like, I'm going to go get a degree in business, you know?
Well, I mean, I've tried, since I've been here, I've tried not dismissing the difficulty of any other major offhand, because you never know
the challenges that one's going. I don't mean the degree is easy. I just mean, like, the job security.
Yes,
of
that. Great point.
I don't mean to say that any other major is easier than music. I don't think that. I think that, you know,
we get
biomedical engineering would not be for me.
I think we get a lot of joy out of our lives that we've picked already, that, like, people of our age studying, I don't know, law.
Yeah, they might
they might not.
They don't get those little wins.
No,
for sure.
I mean, we get, like, I pride myself on acknowledging that, especially the performances that go really well or the performances where I get to have music of mine played, just knowing that everything, every one of those is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that everything that I get to do here, I need to be grateful for, because there's so many awesome things about all the stuff that we do that we don't think about because we always have our eyes set on
the next thing. Yeah.
We want to do the next thing. And sometimes doing the easy thing, it's still doing the thing, but like there's so much that we can just take away and be proud of by doing the easy thing too. So, I mean, like, you know, seriously, just do the thing.
Do the thing. Be inspired by what's going on. Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Levi, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man.
It's fun. It's so fun that you're my first like college, you know, interview. It's, you know, as it should be. We've been pretty good friends.
Yeah,
so
yeah, man.
It makes sense. But
well, I mean, we've had this talk before too. I mean,
this definitely is not the first time.
But we, you know, we've maybe been a little bit more explicit about like, you know, we see, like, we get frustrated when we see other people not doing the thing because it's. I think, and you can feel free to disagree with this. It feels like a knock to me and the place that I chose to study when other people doing the same things and having the same opportunities as me choose to complain.
Yeah.
And not do the thing.
I just get sad because I think there are a lot of good musicians out there that are just unwilling to apply themselves.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, music is just about this bigger thing than us, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely not trying to be an orchestral percussionist because I want to be famous.
Sure.
Because it's because I want to make good music and I want to inspire people.
Yeah. I mean, most of the famous orchestral musicians that you can name, well, I would say, and this could be wrong, but I would say the average person, 50% of the musicians they can name are amazing musicians, and 50% of the musicians they can name are people who got in trouble. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not going into a thing because we want to be globally recognized. We want to have the opportunity to perform at the highest level.
Right.
And to, you know, the people that really care about the stuff that we do will experience, and maybe they'll know our names, but at the end of the day, they'll know the music that we play, and they'll know that we care about it too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you create connections over that and whatnot. But yeah, it is sad to see people not fully unlock their potential.
Yeah.
But that goes with anything too. I mean, like, yeah, there's just so many things that we've talked about already that like apply to so many different things, but we just only see it because we only see it from the music side. True, because we're music majors. I mean,
this whole conversation is not exclusively for music majors. It just so happens that this is a music major podcast.
Yes, it's what we've experienced. But yeah. Yeah, man.
All right.
This is great.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Do you have anything you want to shout out? I don't know if you have anything in the works or any shows coming up. Are you playing at Sean's thing?
No, I have another gig that day too. I don't have like a whole lot of gigs planned for the summer, but it's funny enough that gig landed on the day that I have another one. No, I mean, you know, check out the album if you want, What Once Was.
Yeah, we'll have it linked below.
And, you know, be on the lookout for the next one because, you know, I was just working some stuff out of the piano today, and I'm excited about what's coming. I think, you know, I got ideas flowing, and I know you got stuff coming too, and everybody, you know, it's just a great time to be alive and great time to make music, man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening. If you happen to be in Italy this summer, Levi and I will be there, and you can buy us a drink, you know.
Please. We want to drink.
Yeah. We'll definitely take you up on that. But we'll also just talk to you as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're good people. We'd love to talk. I don't know if I have any Italian viewership, but.
You know what? You never know, man.
Never know. Wow. As time would have it, it seems as if it's time for the concert to start. Are you going to that?
I am.
All right, you better get going. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Later.
Thank you,
Levi.
All right, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you could take 30 seconds to follow us and share with a friend who also might find this information helpful, that would mean a lot. Follow us on social media. It means the world to know that this podcast is making a difference in your life. Keep practicing, performing, and learning. We'll be back soon with another episode.